This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
Birdie leads at second. Suzuki at first. And the 2-2 from Aiken. Swing and a miss. Strike three and the ball game is over. Pete swinging and missing. Tough loss for the Cubs.
Yeah, I remember that. I saw that. This is Raheem Anharis on 670 The Score. That was Pat Hughes. Ron Coomer on the call. That was Pete Crow Armstrong striking out to end the game Saturday against the Orioles that they lost 4-3. That was a tough one. And then it got worse from there, as we saw. So the Cubs take on the Cardinals. That is a three-game series that is nationally televised. And, of course, you can hear it right here on 670 The Score. And it's, again, where we try to figure out who this Cubs team is following the trade deadline and moving forward, while the Brewers just remain an absolute unit, wagon, whatever you want to call it. They're breathing down everybody's necks at a breakneck speed.
Yeah, they've been nonstop. Cubs had to go maximum effort to get 2 out of 3 from Baltimore. Then they lose 2 out of 3 to Cincinnati. So I love how you put it. Who is this team right now? I still think I know who this Cubs team is. I do think this team is more like the team that won that final game of the series against the Reds, hitting 3 homers and winning the game 6-1. I think that has been what the season has been, more than not. So I do think that they will revert to something like that. The good news for the Cubs tonight that they get to start it with a bang, because Matthew Boyd is the man on the mound for the Cubs tonight. And I'm just looking like through where he ranks with some of the numbers that he's had this year. Boyd, 11-4. If you're still into wins, he is fourth in that category. He is 2.34 ERA. That is fifth in the bigs. His whip of 103 is ninth best in the league, and he will go up against one Michael McGreevy.
Who?
Michael McGreevy.
Does he hang out in the not real baseball player department with Zach McKinstry?
I think he hangs out with Chris Ronji. That's where he is.
Michael McGreevy hangs out with Chris Ronji?
Maybe.
I always knew Chris Ronji loved the Cardinals.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But that's a cool name. I like the Michael McGreevy name. It's so Cardinal because, like, who is this guy? Who is Michael McGreevy?
That was Zach McKinstry for me.
That was Zach McKinstry.
I was like, are you real?
Yeah. And there's been so many Cardinals over the years who have not felt real. But I did some digging on Mr. McGreevy. Turns out he's real.
What?
Yeah.
No.
Here's the... I'll play the hits. 25-year-old righty was the 18th overall pick in 2021. After not getting drafted out of high school, he went to UC Santa Barbara and then became a first-round pick. That's how you do it.
The Gauchos. Or are they the Banana Slugs? One of them is the Gauchos, and one of them is the Banana Slugs.
The UC Santa Barbara?
Yeah. I used to know their mascot off the top of my head.
Oh, that's awesome.
Cal State Fullerton, where Justin
UC Santa Barbara is the Gaucho.
Hey, look at that.
What is a Gaucho? Anybody?
Well, they're a
is that
pair
like a Groucho?
Of pants that are black and cropped, but they're wide leg.
Okay.
I don't think they're named after the pants.
So, Gauchos are pants?
No.
Gauchos.
A gaucho is a cowboy of the South American Pampas. Pampas.
Gaucho. Didn't Dan McNeil have gaucho? Or that was gout. Yeah.
That's gout.
Gout.
None of this makes me think this guy is real.
Well, okay. So he had 3 starts last year, 1 relief appearance at a 196 ERA. He has had back-to-back bad starts against San Diego. That's the bottom line for you Cubs fans, for you guys maybe wanting to put a few shekels on the game tonight. Last 2 games, he gave up 4 runs on August 2nd, 7 hits, and then against San Diego on 7/27, he allowed 7 runs. So hopefully, I want the Cubs to be familiar with him, because sometimes you don't know who these Cardinals guys are. Now I've told you about Michael McGreevy. Don't be surprised about anything with Mike McGreevy.
He plays with PJ Higgins and Zach McKinstry at TGI Fridays and the imaginary baseball team. No, he's real.
Not Mike McCready of Pearl Jam.
I do also want to point out, though, that one of the most frustrating parts about Saturday's loss against the Orioles was that was a wasted Matt Boyd start. He had a tremendous performance in that game. He went 7 innings. He gave up only 4 hits, no runs, 8 strikeouts to no walks. I mean, that was just an outstanding outing from him.
And a recovery outing, Layla, because he had had the dud against Milwaukee. So you're just like, okay, just make sure that was a one-time thing. Okay, cool. We're good.
And this is a Cubs team that badly needs run support for guys like Boyd. And I didn't think I would be saying that on August 8th at this point in time. But we're still seeing some of the habits that have reared their ugly heads, especially since that trade deadline. And you're right. Is it going to be the team like we saw beat the Reds in dominating fashion, 6-1? I think another question is, the last time that the Cubs played the Cardinals, Mark, there was like 7 people in the stands in St. Louis.
Yeah.
And people were like, oh, you know, that part of the ballpark is just hot. It's St. Louis. It's been hot. They show up even in the heat. I know, because I've been at games in St. Louis at Cardinals Stadium when they've had teams there that weren't good. So I wonder what the fans are going to do this time around.
Well, that's what made me start to think, is the Brewers rivalry taking over the Cubs Cardinals?
I think it has been for years.
I think it's sort of like Packers Vikings, because the Bears were so irrelevant as far as winning for so long that became the actual better games. But the bloodlines of Cubs Cardinals will never go away. The last time the Cubs played at the bloodline.
Also, there's Bears a lot line. Of texters Bajent? Saying that the last call about Bajent was the bloodline guy.
Oh, man, maybe that's why that was in my head. The Cubs split the 4-game series at Busch in June, but let me take you guys back to a very happy time. That was July 4th weekend when the Cubs took 2 of 3 from the Cardinals. The Cubs in that series, they outscored St. Louis 28-11. In one of those was the famous Michael Busch 3-run home run game. So there is evidence to suggest the Cubs can get back on track with the bats against St. Louis pitching, which is not as good as it once was because they lost a couple of guys like Ryan Helsley at the trade deadline. Steven Matz, you don't have to worry about him anymore. He is not walking through that bullpen door for the Cardinals.
Yeah, that was one of those defining series for the Cardinals where it told them, you're not going to be buyers at the deadline. And there was a time where we were trying to figure out what they were going to do regarding where they thought they were relative to the other teams. And then Milwaukee quietly was going on a buzzsaw of a tear over 2 months. I say all of that to also point out that this could also be a defining series for the Cubs in this way. Like, are you going to be another team where we're talking about you salvaging the series? Are we going to be talking about a team where you again didn't give Boyd run support? I don't think that's the case today. But until we see some clear hitting out of guys who aren't Michael Busch, you know, the ones, and credit to him and credit to also what we've seen out of the other guys like Matt Shaw, for example, what we've seen out of the improvement out of other players on this team. The two for me are PCA and Kyle Tucker. So Ron Coomer was on this morning with David Haugh talking about what he's seen out of Pete Armstrong.
I would say from the outside, somewhat of an outsider's perspective, from watching every day, that Pete is trying to hit a 5-run homer almost every time he's up to the plate. You know, and you can now the last ball game he didn't get the hits, but he hit the ball the other way. He flew out twice to left field. And I'm trying to think what he did. He might have punched out in his third at bat. But he still, the approach was back towards left center field. And I'm like, oh, there we go. You know, I think for a young player like Pete, who's an emotional player to begin with, and the team is struggling and everybody's looking for him to be one of the catalysts because he had such a good first half, I really think he gets over aggressive and the league caught up with him a little bit. And they said, you know what? We're not going to throw this young guy strikes. And if he's going to keep swinging, we're going to keep throwing pitches out of the zone. And that's what they did for a while, and they're still doing it. But at least the last couple of days, he's taking more pitches, you know. And I just, you know, there are times where you can see young players walking to home plate, and you just want to tell them, breathe, just breathe, slow things down. I played with a guy in New York named Derek Jeter. I never met a guy that could lower his blood pressure and his heart rate better than Derek. And it was just amazing. The bigger the situation, the more he was like sitting having his cup of coffee. You know, he was like, oh, you know, come to the mound and the place is going up for grabs. And he's just like, I think for, you know, I think for Pete, those are skills that either you have as a young person that, you know, God's given you, or there's something that can be taught and learned. But I think for right now, I think those are things that he can, you know, slow things down, breathe, get control. There's something to be said about some of the sports psychologists in the world that have helped a lot of players, me included, on how to deal with not failure, but just the pressure of the inner workings of the game and how to control that. And I think for right now, Pete is sometimes getting a little overamped and he's up there swinging away.
That was Ron Coomer. This segment on Rahimi and Harris with Mark Grody on The Score is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. That also speaks to a segment we're going to do at 12:45 discussing one Andrew Vaughn. But when I consider that Pete Crow Armstrong, when he's hitting home runs, will hit them anywhere in the zone, including many that are out of the zone, and that there has been an adjustment that the league has made to him, I feel like all of that is incredibly valid when it comes to what we have seen recently. The league will catch up to you as a hitter. They will know what you like, and they will try to make sure that you're not getting any of that. And I think that's what we're seeing.
I think the Cubs, from the beginning of the season or when PCA started to get hot, when there was the revelation that, oh, he's hitting the baseball and he's hitting the ball out of the park, the Cubs' philosophy was, we're going to let him be him until it's not working anymore. Because there's all sorts of easy pickings when it comes to PCA in terms of, and I am air quoting, flaws when it comes to the game. As Ron Coomer said, you can't swing to try to hit a 5-run home run in every at-bat. That's what he's been doing. And he's had amazing success being that guy, trying to hit home runs. That's what PCA has been doing this year. But it's all of a sudden, it's not working being him. So now you have to gently say, as Coomer was, here's an adjustment. Then the emotional part of his game comes in. Coomer mentioned that he's emotional. You have to breathe. These are all things that we've been sort of collecting and saying, we don't really have to make a big deal out of those things. But when the slump starts, then we have to adjust. And what you just said, Layla, that other teams, we knew this was going to happen.
Yep.
Of course, other teams are taking this man seriously. This is an MVP candidate. Word has gotten around, and it's time for PCA now and the Cubs hitting staff to adjust and get him back together.
The last day that Pete Crow Armstrong hit a home run was the 23rd of July against the Royals in an 8-4 loss.
Okay. Well, that's still not that. I mean, it's,
no.
It hasn't gotten crazy yet, but
it's a little farther away for our guy, Kyle Tucker. That was the 19th of July, the only home run he hit in that month, in a 6-0 win over the Boston Red Sox. Well, Coom also talked about what he's seen out of Kyle Tucker as well.
No, I would say it'll come back. I would guess that his finger is okay now. But this is a guess. I'm just guessing that his finger's okay, but he did get himself into some bad habits. I think he did, you know, some things that, and we all go through. This isn't like, you know, because Kyle's a great player, it's surprising that he goes through this. It's just great players, usually this period of time is short. But when you're dealing with an injury and, you know, you're doing some other things, it happens. So I expect him to get hot again this season and have another one of them roles where he carries the ball club, and then what he does is he affects the rest of the group because he's on base all the time and they quit pitching to him. So I expect the offense and everybody to kind of catch fire again and really put the pressure on Milwaukee for sure.
Maybe the finger's okay, but Kyle Tucker wasn't talking like that, though, the other day.
No, he was just like, well, I got to just deal with it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
But I also wonder if you just dealt with it too much.
So this is big then, because he's gotten the 2 days off. I think, like, some people are like, why don't they just put him on the injured list? Let him like reset the guy. That's what they did. They're trying the 2-day break with Kyle Tucker. But if he's still not Kyle Tucker over the next 3 games and his fingers, there's still discomfort, do you reset him? Can you afford to put him on the 10-day DL at this point in the season and bring up a certain rookie?
Oh,
see
when Kate.
I'm just saying.
See, I do want to also point this out. He played in the All-Star game. You know, and a lot of guys like Matt Boyd sat it out because they wanted to make sure that they were healthy for this specific time of the year, September, October.
October. Rocktober.
Hopefully. Hopefully. Not Rockt. I don't think Rocktober's happening this year, Mark.
Why?
I just, you know, I just don't think they've got it in the cards for them that they're going to make the playoffs. Maybe I'm wrong. Okay.
Oh, I thought you meant the actual Rocktober, like somehow rock and roll was not going to be here.
I meant Rocky's October, a.k.a. Rocktober.
I thought she canceled rock and roll.
the day Layla canceled rock and roll.
That is never going to happen in this house.
No, not in this house.
No.
Hey, we're sponsoring a rock festival on this here station.
That's right. Yeah, we're partnering with Riot Fest. It's the exact opposite, actually.
Yeah.
Ripping your pillow tail.
That's going to be one of the acts.
There, Metallica's that? No.
No, Grody and Dustin.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be great.
Where is Rhodes? We got to work on that.
You ain't my bitch.
Okay. The haw part is the best. Okay.
The band will That's be
enough.
Called.
He's had enough of your act.
No, haw's amused.
Poor
He's
David.
Amused.
And you could tell that he was trying. It's like corralling a teenager. Grody was just bouncing off the walls.
You talk about the Metallica
yes,
singing right
Metallica.
There. Oh, no, I think Haw's in on it, though. Haw's a serious guy.
Why?
But he likes the silliness. He likes the goofiness.
Haw's a newsman, but he's a newsman with a sense of humor.
Absolutely.
It's kind of like, I'm really excited, actually, about the recent White Sox, like, resurrection of fandom publicly that we're hearing from Brad Biggs on the air. It makes me really happy.
When you hear Biggs talking baseball,
yes,
that makes you happy. Yeah,
Brad Biggs talks baseball with you.
You'd rather hear him talk about Colson Montgomery than Colston Loveland. Is that what you're saying?
I want to hear all of it. Yeah. I need Brad Biggs' thoughts on all of the things.
The Sox are emerging as a wagon.
Brad Biggs talks White Sox with you.
By the way, the Sox on pace now to only lose 101 games.
Can we just look at that?
Yeah, Grody's distracted because on WGN they have a cat up for adoption
right
now.
Oh my goodness, it's just a baby.
How's Dave?
Dave is doing great.
Is he curled up in a box somewhere?
It's the summer of Dave.
Every season is the season of Dave.
The update on Dave is he loves these hot temperatures.
He does?
Really does. He likes to bask. I've got the sliding glass door in my place, and he loves to just bask near the sun. When the sunshine hits that spot, that's where he goes.
Does he go outside?
No, this is not an outdoor cat. I live in a high rise. I don't think that I would want to let my cat loose in the South Loop.
Some cats go on balconies.
Oh, no. I don't I don't even let my cat near the door because I just don't want to take the chance on him running up the screen because cats will do stuff like that.
They will.
I want Dave alive.
He's so fluffy.